Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 4 event podcasts, with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, The Mythos Mysteries, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Our heroes have defeated a troll and its assistants inside the Bastion of Failure. Butthole accidentally tried to raise a zombie from the dead. Juniper laid hands on anyone who needed it. And Quinny, in a shocking turn of events, requested not to be revivified or resurrected if he dies ever again. Can our heroes reclaim this bastion, and will Quinny survive the attempt? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons!
You stand within the main hall of the Bastion of Failure. Before you is a throne, a now empty spit, a small fire, a cooking fire. There seem to be a couple chairs near the fire, some spilt drinks. It would seem that some kind of social gathering was interrupted. Behind you, the doors to the keep are open, the wormling having escaped out of them. Of course, to your right is to your left is the corpse of the ice troll that you murdered. To your right is the headless Duragar Hammerer, whose neck continues to be eaten away by lingering acid. You're standing in this hall. You've decided to clear out the Bastion of Failure in an attempt to find a new home for the people of the town and the remainder of your crew and the various people she's found as a safe haven against the undead. But in order to do that, you must first clear the keep, which is where we find you. What would you like to do now?
Did I find anything when I searched the bodies? Find anything noteworthy?
Not particularly. Just kind of standard carrying stuff. You get 15 gold off the Duragar.
I almost made back my investment on Reginald.
Yeah. From this room, there are 3 exit doors on this level. There's the locked door the Duragar couldn't get through, the door the Duragar opened and got shot through, and one on the west wall, directly across from the door where the Duragar got shot.
So I guess the question is, we know what's going to come through the one door. Do we tackle that, or do we try to approach that from another entrance?
You also have the 2 stair doors out in the lobby, if you so desire.
It seemed like the Duragar thought there'd more trolls or more Duragar or whatever would be through the middle locked door, because he was trying to go that way when he ran. But then he couldn't open it, and then he went into the trap door. So if we work on the lock, we might be heading towards more enemies, but fewer traps, because they'll already have set them off. Otherwise, we could do these other routes, but we might be hitting more traps. I mean, Quinny, you're kind of our trap robbery expert. What do you suggest?
It could be another fake door, too. Let's have a closer look. The door that this guy was yanking on, does it appear to be a door that actually leads somewhere? Is it bricked up as well? Is it locked?
Give me an investigation, please.
That's a better roll. 18 plus stuff. 24.
Okay. This does seem to be a real door, from what you can tell. And the... just giving it like a gentle, like not a full pull, but like a little gentle tug just to see if it's locked. It now does seem to be barred on the other side.
Okay, so it goes somewhere. It's just locked on the other side.
Yeah, oh, not barred, but yes, locked. Yeah.
Okay. From my assessment, this is not another fake door. This goes somewhere, but it's locked from the other side, which kind of makes it tricky sometimes to pick the lock. I could try, but I can't guarantee that I can get this door open.
Well, I mean, if somebody wants to keep us out, that seems like it'd be valuable. Juniper, what do you think?
I think we have to clear this whole thing eventually. Let's try this locked door.
Yeah, so Tyler, I'll say it is locked from the other side, but there is a keyhole. So it does seem like, you know, if you want to use thieves' tools, there is possibility of unlocking it from the side. It's not like it's a one-sided lock.
I just so happen to have thieves' tools on me.
What?
I know. Serendipitous. I'll try
it. Hell, Sue, please. Butthole quietly farts into his hand, swishes it up, and blows it into Quinny's face. Just, and he says, do good. And then he pats him on the shoulder, and he's cast guidance. So Quinny gets to add a D4 to this ability check.
And I think, Quinny, if you don't mind, I'm just going to stand off to the side here, just beside you. And grab you the back of your shirt. And as soon as you unlock that door, I'm just going to yank you. So
appreciate it. Yep.
We don't
try not to do
surprises.
It before, though, because, you know, I don't want to get pulled away in the middle of my work here.
Oh, yeah. Good thought. And then Butthole will go peace out on the other side of the door.
I'm going to err on the side of caution.
Cool. So go ahead with a sleight of hand, please.
And you get to add 1d4 for guidance
and advantage from using the tools.
Oh, okay.
Your odds are good.
Yeah. Ah, that was a better roll. 18 plus 4 on the D4. It's 22.
Nice.
Plus 1 because of my all 20s that I got way back when. So what's that, 25?
3.
23. And then sleight of hand is 15. So
36.
36.
Now I'm making a note here. Huge success. Yeah, you very handily unlock it. It's not a complex lock. You get the sense that it's more meant just for, you know, when you need a door to close. It's not really, you know, an impenetrable thing. You feel the lock click.
Like coins fall out of it. Like, oh, hey, I win.
You feel the lock click, and you're confident you can open the door. What do you do?
I will look over my shoulder to Juniper and say, I'm going to open the door. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, now. And I'll open, like turn the latch and
a yank.
Open it. Yeah.
As you do, there is a burst of flame. And you're pulled back from it. Quinny. So just kind of singes your boots, as you're pulled away. Beyond, there is what looks to be sort of a kitchen, area, and it is on fire. Dark rolling smoke, but the entire room seems to be ablaze.
Quinny like lands on his butt and immediately is like, oh, good thinking, Juniper. Thanks.
Let's anyone have water?
I mean, we got a whole lot of snow here.
Oh, that's true.
Is there anything in the fire, Tom? Like, Butthole be looking like, is there someone who started it? Like, are there people around, or is it just a room that's on fire?
We should check if it's a grease fire before we start throwing.
Can you roll me a perception?
Yes, I can.
That is a 19.
All right. It's a kitchen that's on fire. There's no one in the kitchen. The kitchen is just burning. But everything still looks relatively like it looks like a. You suspect this the fire was just started. The kitchen itself is obviously taking damage now, but isn't, you know, cinders and ash. But you can see that it's a fire. On closer inspection, Butthole, given your time with Greywater, I think you'd be familiar enough with this. This looks like a hastily set fire. Like someone likely threw accelerant all over the place, like just doused it in, you know, lamp oil or something and lit it up. This isn't a careful fire. This is a sloppy fire.
And I'm assuming there's another door out.
There is. Yep. It's hard to see, but there is a, you can see kind of stairs descending into a small area near the back that would clearly lead to the basement, to cold storage. You can also see a door on the north wall. You're currently looking in from the west wall.
So someone's covering their tracks and trying to keep us
yeah, out. We need to put this out as quick as we can, especially if people are going to live here. This place can't be burnt to shit, especially the kitchen. Quinny summons Frostbite, which mm-hmm. puts out open flame within 30 feet. Does that do the job?
It does. It is not magical fire.
Okay.
So as you draw your blade,
I think it's 30 feet.
A chill wind sort of emits from it, and the fires go out.
Okay.
30 feet is okay. The room is damaged, but similar to like if a bunch of stuff caught fire and then you hit it with a fire extinguisher relatively quickly, there's you know, damage, but it's not cinders, which is good. You've managed to save the kitchen.
Okay, great. I open my hand and Frostbite slides into my open palm again, and it's disappeared.
Great.
I'm going to venture into this kitchen.
Cool. Moving into the kitchen, you find the accelerant. So there's a few empty flasks of lamp oil near the door leading to the basement. To your eye, it very much looks like douse, light and run.
Yeah.
The door on the north wall is ajar, and you can feel a cool breeze blowing through it.
The basement door is closed.
Basement door is closed, yes.
And it's got the accelerants outside. So they went down the basement, basically.
What do you make of the kind of person that sets fire to a room and then heads into the basement that room is adjoined to?
Well, if you're like a weird coward and you know that there's a wormling coming and maybe somebody attacked your friend, say you were listening through the door, and you hear us show up, and then you go, oh, fuck, I don't want to die, but these guys suck. You start a fire and run away, closing the door, hoping there's a way out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe they put themselves in there where their food is. It just seems weird to set a fire and hide in the basement of the building.
Well, I mean, if you set a fire, you're not going to go up.
I mean, to be clear, it's a stone building, guys. This place isn't going to, like, burn down with a fire in the kitchen. It'll just torch what's in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Castles. Right.
Want to roll an investigation check, Quinny, if you're trying to get a lay of the room?
Ooh, not a great roll. Investigation, 9.
Yeah, beyond the flasks, you don't really get much of a sense of it. Butthole, would you be trying to ascertain, or Juniper, would you be doing any more work in this room? Or
I think Butthole would just be doing his general kind of walk in, Sherlock, see what he sees kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Juniper's not looking for specifics. It's...
Yeah, just kind of a general what happened here.
I mean, basically. For Butthole, that's a 29.
8.
No, not a 29. That's a 29.
So, Butthole, as you're Sherlocking your way through the room, you trip over something. It's a large iron ring with a hinge on one side and a lock on the other. It seems to have little spikes on the inside of the ring attached to a length of chain ending in a leather grip.
Oh, this is where the wormling was tied up. Right here, see? It was hooked into the ground, and then it was designed to protect the room.
It's not hooked to the ground. It looks like a handle, like you would carry, like a leash.
Some guy had a wormling on a leash, and then it got away. So he probably launched it at the bad guys, set a fire, and booked it.
Do we think that's Duke Fane, then?
Guy's could be Duke Fane. Could be a different troll if they don't like each other. All I'm guessing is that this wormling was some kind of pet.
All right, shall we go down to the basement then? If the person's a coward and ran away, maybe we can bully them. I don't know.
I'd also just like to know if there's food here, because we've got a lot of starving people coming in.
Yeah, okay. So basement, cold storage.
Yeah.
Do we want to secure that open door first so no one gets us in the back?
I mean, logically, yes. Probably good we should idea. Look into that room.
Okay, all right. Basement on the to-do list, first and foremost, the open door.
Tom, sure. Can yes. I'd like to go along the wall to where that door is. I haven't had throwing hammers forever because I haven't had Goblin Jr., but now I have an armored wolf with throwing hammers. And I would like to throw a throwing hammer to knock the door open from where it is ajar so nobody sure. has to actually approach it.
All right, so you toss your hammer with great force. It hits the door. The door creaks open, and you hear the hammer clatter away, and there's no noise aside from the howl of wind. And you feel an icy breeze blasting through it at a higher rate than you'd expect.
All right, let's go take a peeky-poo. And he'll kind of, with his shield and hammer in hand, kind of go to the door to look through it.
Great. Inside, you see sort of a beautiful, almost observation room. There seems to be it opens onto, theoretically would have been like a balcony, an enclosed balcony. You can see a number of work tables set up with flasks and alchemical materials. There's a diagram of the castle pinned up to an easel, along with kind of a desk full of notes. Outside, you can see what looks to be frozen water. So what would have probably been a waterfall at some point. Mm. That is frozen. However, there is a massive melted hole in the middle of it. You can see some batons and climbing rope hanging off the balcony and leading out through the hole. And outside, from here, you can see kind of out across the mountains and the wind and snow howls through.
So somebody left this place and dug a hole through a mountain or melted a hole through it. They've gone that way. We could follow along batons.
Roll me an insight, please, if you're doing your...
He is, and he's using some Moonhammer powers as well. It's 23.
It looks like people came in, not went out.
Mm. Okay, so somebody broke in through this room. But I guess we can just like...
Looking to your left, you also see that the door into the sort of central hall is barricaded shut. So the door the Duergar couldn't get through has been barricaded with tables and things from around this room.
Okay, so there was somebody in here when the troll and those dickheads came in trying to defend it because he barricaded this. They may have been a thief because they could have broken in through the window. So it might not be Duke Fane, or it could be Fane and the trolls came in through a window. I don't know. It's a weird... There's a third party here.
I'm not getting necromancery vibes from this kind of behavior. You know what I mean? All the necromancers that I think, now I'm thinking, have we run into necromancers? Not really that much, but like...
There's Moreau. You kind of know, spooky, they wear black.
I mean, Quinny wasn't there. He never met Moreau. He was busy Ranger use the bathroom with handcuffs.
I mean, logically, no, this, but it's an undead zone. So like this,
he doesn't have his undead horde to protect him. Okay, so maybe he is a little more...
Yeah, this necromancer like gave up on necromancy, which is weird. So I don't know what we're expecting, but somebody broke in a window, which clearly wasn't Duke Fane. And the trolls look like they broke in the front. So either there's way more trolls than we thought, and they broke in a bunch of places, which is bad, or there's a third party we don't know about. So there's Fane, break window group, and trolls in front.
Okay. Well, we've dealt with the trolls so far. Let's go check out the basement.
I guess. And then he'll like reclaim his hammer and then close the door. And he's like, Quinny, can you lock this door? Just because, I don't know, we can.
If it locks, I can lock it.
From what you're seeing of the keep, they all have a similar lock system.
Okay.
But to your surprise, and I mean, it's almost an insult, I think. It's like someone who has like the same password for everything. You go to like futz with it and you find it's exactly the same lock mechanism as the kitchen door. Mm-hmm. Likely both of these doors, and you're not sure how many others, could be operated by a single key.
Okay. It's the same lock, everyone. So if you find a key, it might just be the key to all the doors in this place. I'm going to check that basement door for traps, just given the track record of this place so far. So stand clear. Give me a minute to work here and I'll see if we can get this thing open.
Okay. But I'll just like stand petting Goblin Jr. because great.
I mean, I got your back again.
Appreciate it.
All right. Quinny, go ahead with, I think we'll stick to our either investigation or sleight of hand.
Well, I want to check for traps. So investigation.
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Nat 20.
Hey.
Hey, nice.
The door is locked. You get the sense it's probably barred on the other side, rather than simply locked, but no traps. Looks like it was sort of slammed shut and locked. There is the same locking mechanism, and based on what you saw of the previous barricade, odds are this was like a hasty barricade, not like a proper lock system. So that's what you get from this.
Okay. Well, I'll try to unlock it then now to at least get us that far.
Okay. So you, knowing what the locks are, you're able to unlock that part fairly easily. But when you try the door, it is blocked from the other side. Barricade. You could probably force it, but.
Then I think when he steps away and says, this is going to take a stronger hand than what I've kind of got. Who wants to charge on in there?
Juniper, you want to take a shot? And
yeah, it's a push door.
Yes.
I'll ram it.
Great. Go ahead and roll me.
Are you still crunch?
No.
No, she's okay. Back to Juniper.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure.
Give me athletics, please.
All right. It's a 10.
You slam up against the door and bounce off of it. You get the sense that just the combination of the weight of the door and the shit that's been piled on the other side is making it difficult.
This might take two strong people, Butthole. Kind of a unified battering ram situation.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I feel like Juniper, you're probably stronger than me. So why don't you take the outside and I'll do the inside where the hinges are, because that won't swing as far, but I can add myself to help.
All right. One, sure. Two, so I think three, what we'll hit. Not yeah. On three. It's one, two, three, hit.
No way.
One, two, three,
hit.
Narf.
All right. So one, two, three, hit.
Hit. Oh. Wait, we did it at the same time. Why do you look frustrated? I thought it was
one,
good.
Two, three,
hit. Wait, that was slower. Are you going to count at the same speed? And then I think the moment you take off, he just follows you.
Right. So Juniper, go ahead, roll again with advantage.
Okay.
The butthole advantage.
It's a 20 total and 25.
Oh, yeah, man. So with both of you throwing your weight at it, you hear a clatter of crates on the other side as you knock the door open. Some heavy boxes, and you're gonna like they spill what looked to be kind of like canned goods and that sort of thing out as you crash through it. They tumble down a few stairs onto a landing. You can tell that it kind of the stairs lead down to a little landing and then further down into the basement itself. The door is open.
Is it dark down there in the basement?
Hell yeah,
guys! I'll go first. I got devil sight. I can see without lighting my way.
Nice. All righty, then you do that. I'm going to light this friggin' torch. He'll light a torch himself and be able to follow. Okay, oh, wait, amazing. No, he won't. He's like, I haven't had this bag for so long. And he lights his torch, and then he like blows it out really hurriedly. Like, and then he's like, I forgot I had this. And he takes out his like one eye goggle of the owl that looks like one half of Elton John's sunglasses that are like white and sparkly. And he puts it on, and now he can see in the dark out of one eye.
Fancy.
Nice.
All right.
Can you see in the dark?
No.
Give me 2 seconds. I'll have a quick look and then we'll light it so you can come down.
I could with my monocle of the owl.
Oh, she's got the other one.
Which oh, put that on.
No, which I'm sure is in Xanthus's lab.
Oh,
so
right.
Xanthus has it now.
Sorry, it's just still so weird that like your body's right here, but your stuff is somewhere else, right?
Yeah, it's also just a weird thing for you to say that you could use a thing that you don't have.
I mean, I could in the past.
It's
probably
in morning.
The word could. It's there's ambiguity. Anyway,
makes an ass out of you and an ass out of me. That's what the word could does. All right, okay, so Quinny, so go ahead and roll me stealth, please. And Butthole, you're trying to sneak along with him?
I think he'll let him like get a bit ahead, and then Butthole will follow in a less sneaky way to perhaps draw attention.
18.
18? Okay.
That was a low roll.
I was going to say, you must have rolled dog shit to get 18.
I did. And you've got Devil's Sight, correct?
I do, yes.
Not Dark Sight. What does Devil's Sight do?
I can see in magical and non-magical darkness. Up to a certain amount of distance, if that matters. I can pull that up.
No, it doesn't. So Quinny, you begin to edge down the stairs, and it's like darker than it should be, but your devil's sight cares not for that. Mm. As you make your way down, as you kind of like peer around the corner, you can see some, it's clearly a cold storage. There's a sort of a big room with a dirt floor, heavy walls, sort of columns holding up the ceiling. And you can see stores of food, preserved. There's a lot of like rotted fresh food, but there's definitely preserves and that sort of thing around. It's not the best stocked you've ever seen, but it's not bad. Yeah, it's a start. Most alarmingly, you see a few sort of prep tables and things have been knocked over to create barricades. And there are two drow archers crouched. They're kind of grinning to each other. And as you quickly look around, you realize that you're actually standing in an orb of darkness that they have summoned. Unfortunately for them, your devil's sight pierces it. So they're pretty convinced that anyone coming down here is going to be lost in their extraordinarily specific drow power of being able to summon an orb of darkness. but unfortunately for them, you care not for their orbs.
Okay.
Beyond them, you can see an open door with like light. And you can see there's actually light in the cold storage room. The orb of darkness is what's preventing you guys from seeing it. Mm. Beyond them, so you're coming down from the east wall is where the stairs come in. On the west wall, leading kind of back under what you would imagine to be the center of the keep, the door is open, and you can hear the sounds of combat.
Combat, dang, there's a lot going on in this castle. Okay. My friends won't be able to do anything about that orb of darkness, so it's up to me to deal with that. Can I get any kind of sense on who's casting it? I can't remember if it's concentration or if it just sits there, but does someone appear to be trying to maintain this?
Let me confirm that for you.
Okay. I don't even know if that's something that can be perceived.
A wizard costume, you're like, it's the wizard one.
Roll a 20. Well, yes. I'm sure you can perceive it.
I think because Quinny's like up ahead and Butthole and Juniper have a moment alone, he's gonna look to her and be like, so are you at all concerned about Quinny's new I want to die forever thing? Because that kind of came out of nowhere.
I mean it seems strange that it was just because of the farting stuff. It's kind of weird and I guess unusual and uncomfortable for some people, but like I probably would rather be farted into than die. Again, we didn't go through what he went through in hell. Like he's died.
Wait, do you mean like back in hell long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he came out of that fine. I'm trying to figure like what happened since I left that I made him so sad he'd rather be dead. Because you've actually been around a lot more than I have. Like, what happened recently? Because before then, he was always like, fuck him, I'm going to rob everybody. Everybody sucks. I hate them, and I'm cool.
I'll be honest, I didn't really spend much time with him. He was with Alan and Reginald doing a bunch of stuff.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to talk to Reginald to get advice on Quinny. This is a weird twist.
I mean, Alan was kind of weird doing her own thing, wrapped up in her own stuff at that time.
But Quinny never like came back and seemed like really down or something.
I mean, he's always kind of down, isn't he?
I mean, when I've known him, he's always just been kind of a bitter asshole, but he always seems to take a great deal of pleasure in the fact that he's better at things than other people. So I've never really known a sad Quinny.
Maybe.
Butthole, can you roll me an insight check, please?
Yes, I can.
On Quinny. So I'll give you advantage because of love.
Oh.
We always spend more time thinking about our crushes than we do about...
That's a 29.
As I said. That's like analyzing how long to see the three dots of response on a phone. By leaving Quinny the responsibility of becoming king of Akka, and with the burden of responsibility, you've heard a little bit of kind of his challenges with that, but you realize that like Quinny may have changed rather drastically in the time that you've been gone, because you gave him a real heavy responsibility that maybe grew him beyond just caring about material goods. And though he's back to that now, you have to wonder what happens to someone when you take away their purpose.
Wait, is this because I'm king again? Oh, crap. Do I need to make him be king? I'm the butt hammer, so I'm kind of conflicted in my duties.
You do also know he didn't love being king, and the kingliness may not actually be the issue. It's just he's won a thiefy, he came back from the dead, and now he's absolved of responsibility. He might just be missing some purpose.
Oh, wait. I feel like Juniper has just been looking at Butthole, who's been pausing for the exact length of time you've been talking, Tom, as he's been thinking about things. And then his eyes just glow a little bit. And then he talks again as though he's talking to himself, as though one could say the god of his universe is giving him information. And he's like, oh, Quinny doesn't have a purpose. That's tricky, because he won his thiefy, and then he became the thiefies, and then he brought me back. Quinny doesn't have anything to do. There's no driving purpose in his life.
Well, Juniper, no driving purpose and a whole lot of hardship.
Yeah, but I can't fix that other thing. We can find him a purpose.
So, quietly adding to Juniper's, find someone to make the chair just cosmetically change to match her various personas. Butthole, you add help Quinny find new purpose to your side quest book.
Also, Juniper, he dies a lot. Like, we need to figure this out fast. He's very fragile, and he thinks a lot of him coming back was just him waking up. It's not. He died like at least once or twice a battle, all the friggin' time.
Oh boy.
Quinny, it is a concentration spell. However, you can't tell who cast it. Unless you want to roll me an Arcana, I guess.
Try for Arcana.
Yeah.
I'm trying to suss this out. I'm going to say suss out this puzzle, so I called it pus.
Puss out this sus.
Arcana plus one, 17.
17. Given how much darkness is happening, your guess would be that both of them cast orbs, because this whole... Again, given how light you can see... Like, you can see torches burning in the cold storage... you get the sense that this whole kind of blocker on the stairs is darkness.
Okay. I can't use any of that. Okay. I will just very carefully peel back and quietly tiptoe back up the stairs to join Butthole and Juniper and say, the room is lit, but there are two drow down there with bows drawn on these stairs, and they've cast some kind of magical darkness. I don't think you're going to be able to see even with those devices or Juniper, you know, just at all, unless we deal with the spellcasters. Got to disrupt their concentration. We got to hit them and then shake the spell off. I can see in there. I can go in.
Okay.
And, you know, there's two of them, 50-50. Maybe I... get them. I think I can definitely hit one.
Okay, just a second.
What are you doing?
Okay, I rolled a nat one on my insight check for my spellcast, which means Butthole is 110% sure it is the one on the left. And he will convince you that it is the one on the left. It is not the one on the left.
Well, it's both of them, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll start with the one on the left.
Perfect. If you do that, it's definitely going to go away. And then we can just charge down from up here. Nobody's going to get hurt. It's going to be a breeze. Honestly, I think you can take them both with no complications.
Yeah, I agree because I'm great. But I'm going to need you guys to come down blind. You know, shields up, whatever you can do to take a hit or two while I deal with these casters.
If I cast a random moonbeam, you could tell me how far to move it.
Yeah. Okay. But make sure you hit the one on the left. It's definitely the one on the left who's doing the orb.
I don't know where left and right is. I'm just going to make a space like somewhere away.
Can I recall just from checking that place out already, Tom, where they would be positioned and just give Juniper that info now?
Moonbeam, is it line of sight, Juniper?
Probably. I'm actually just making sure. No, just 120 feet. Nope, I don't have to be able to see it.
So I'm going to say that you can't conceive of where they would be in this room. So it's not like just a snap, they die over there. Yeah. This will instead be like having just played a bunch of Dragon Age and being like, okay, well, I can move my, like, if I'm a spellcaster, my targeting circle, like, safe, directly out in front of me to the sides. So basically you'll need Quinny to give you instructions on where to move it.
But Tom, you've been playing a lot of Gears of War. This is the Hammer of Dawn.
It is. It 100% is. I was also thinking Gears Tactics, but I'm like, no one's talking about that. But I'm like, I've lobbed enough blind grenades to know. Full on Hammer of Dawn, or if we want to go way the fuck back to Final Fantasy Spirits Within, just fire up that Zeus cannon, baby. Let's hit some stuff on the ground. Quinny will have to direct it. But you can absolutely summon it.
So if Quinny, I cast it like 20 feet away, that'll be close enough that you can then direct me from there.
Well, I was gonna say you probably need to be with him in the dark so he can see, but he can whisper to you so they can't just, like, I don't know, figure out what the fuck's going on. If he's yelling, they'll shoot him.
I can get the drop on him, so I can at least get one free hit in. But then, yeah, things will get loud.
But couldn't you just sit in the orb? If they can't see into it, you can peek around the corner and be like, a little bit to the left. They get fried until they turn it off, right?
They're drow. They live in darkness perpetually. I'm sure they can see.
But they didn't see you when you looked last time.
Because I'm sneaky.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you be sneaky, you keep Juniper around the corner, you can be like, a little bit to the left. And then she'll do that.
With an active moonbeam?
Well, it'd be on them, not on you. Well,
why do you have to be silent once the moonbeam goes? Just yell it. They already know that something's going on. I'm saying very quietly.
But emphatically.
Yes.
So our plan is for Quinny to charge into a room and then for you to blind fire essentially a magical gun into the same room.
All right. I flip open my eye patch and I pluck my eye of true seeing out. And I say, give me your hand to anyone, either one of you.
All right.
We both hold our hands out. Juniper,
I slap into Juniper's hand. I say, you activate that. You can see in the magical darkness. I like flip my eye patch down. And I say, I want that back. And I sneak down the stairs. I would like to cast Minor Illusion behind the drow.
Damn. I would like to just create
the sound of that door closing. Like slamming shut.
That's fucking rad. Okay.
It's squidgy.
Okay, I'm going to roll for them to see. It's going to be a wisdom save, I think. Yep. All right, so one of them absolutely turns around. None of you speak drow, is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Great. Actually, you know what? They sign anyway, but they're holding bows, so they can't. So one of them turns and just mutters something in drow. And the other one, like, hisses something kind of frustrated. But if there was ever a time that these two centuries were going to be distracted, it's right now. Juniper, what do you do?
How do I use this thing?
Listen, I tried to have
see?
A plan.
I'll just, like, point the eyeball, like, forwards. Like, can I see?
Maybe hold it in front of your eye. Listen, I tried to talk this out.
I put it up to my
eye. You
guys
got grumpy.
How do we activate this?
I mean, you have just as much information as Quinny ever did. The magical items are usually pretty intuitive.
Stick it in your mouth and bite down.
Okay.
Okay. I know. I got to look up what it does if it isn't in your face.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires with Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal. But all is not as it seems, and as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly.
I mean, it is in my face.
You suddenly see, like, everything. It's like multiple cameras are on at the same time. You get the sense this is definitely not how you're supposed to use it. You chomp down and suddenly you can see everything from all directions. You panic and roll forward, not using your orb because you're just panicked by being overwhelmed.
Oh, no.
Your chair rattles down the stairs and you slam into the wall at the landing. You just hear one of them go like, "Oh, shit!" Which, of course, sounds like "oh shit" in any language. They are going to launch a weapon at you. As you deal with sensory overload. Everyone go ahead and roll initiative.
Awesome.
Laura, what's your AC?
21. And my initiative is also 21.
Butthole's just thinking, why would anyone want to just whisper and use a moonbeam and we can all be idiots? 14 for Butthole.
Okay, one sec. Hang all those. I gotta damage Juniper first and then we can talk.
Oh boy.
All right. So Juniper, you get hit by an acid arrow. You're gonna take 12 points of acid damage.
Shit.
You'll take 2d4 more acid damage.
Oh, bloody hell.
At the end of your next turn.
Okay.
Give me those sweet, sweet initiatives now, please.
21.
21 for Juniper, 7 for Quinny.
Yeah. 14 That's for Butthole.
Strange. I don't think I've ever seen you with initiative that low.
I rolled a 2.
I rolled 19. Yeah, we'll do it.
I got a rock.
You have plus 5.
Yeah.
Your dex. Of course. That makes sense.
All right. So, In an alarming turn of events that makes narratively very little sense, Juniper, you're up first. I mean, I guess like you have been seeing in 360 and you did just slam into a wall. I need you to roll me a constitution save, please.
That's fair. Okay. God, I wish I was good. 12.
As you hit the wall, you're jarred, your head bounces off the stone, and in a panic you swallow the eye.
Can I still see?
You can see normally, but no, you don't have any magical seeing powers. It's in your tum-tum.
So if she's hit the end of the stairs, Tom, is she still in the orb of darkness? Because then she can't see.
Yes, you're in the orb of darkness, you're against a wall. Elves are off to your right. You know they're over there because you just got hit by acid in the side of the head.
I know they're over there, so I just yell, just like, take my best. Quinny's not there, right? Because I just rolled down
and you can't
him.
See him.
Yeah, you can't see where
he's
I am.
Back up the stairs, but yes, you can't see him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, because he went down too, so they're both down. She just hurtled past him and hit the edge.
Oh, yes, I see. Yes,
I got shot.
All right, stay back. And I just basically take my best guess as to where they are and say, light of the moon, protect me. Just
great.
Moonbeam.
Quinny, she's speaking awfully clearly for someone who has your eye in her mouth.
To have to wait for it to pass and a lot of soap.
I don't know if Quinny like would know she put it in her mouth.
No, as soon as I yell it out, you just hear me going, just trying to get it up.
you do not, and you can't ask Moonbeam. So Laura, we're gonna have to talk through how casting Moonbeam when you can't see anything and are kind of disoriented works. Normally you just pick a point near you and fire, is that correct?
Yeah Okay. So because it doesn't say anything about like that you have to be able to see it.
All right, I think what I want then from you is a wisdom save. And this is just for you in the moment, because wisdom is, as we've discussed with Butthole a bunch, like just very much reactionary, gut instinct, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think this is you just being like, fuck it. Ah, and in hoping that it lands in the right place. So go ahead and roll. If you succeed, it's going where you want it to. If you fail, it is not.
Oh,
10. 10. All right. So you yell it, you thrust out your arm, and a bunch of shriveled radishes explode in the back corner of the room. You've cast it behind the drow. And are just fucking destroying those radishes. Fuck those radishes.
Oh no.
They were rotten anyway. There was nothing you could do with them. But really, you're just waging war against botulism is really your
well, that's
your
saving noble lives cause.
Is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That said, the drow who was following Quinny's illusion turns in shock at this hit, and his concentration is broken. So one of the orbs disappears. So now, Butthole, you can see to the bottom of the stairs. There's still an orb there that is consuming Juniper and Quinny, but it is much clearer where that delineation is now. It's basically just covering that landing and the bottom of the stairs. The rest of it is clearer. Quite a turn, Juniper. I believe in you. Butthole.
Great. Butthole is just going to charge into the darkness. That's all he can do. Just down the stairs into the darkness.
Cool.
Is the whole bottom... I imagine they filled the room around them with the orb, right? Like,
it's only 15 feet. So they're mostly covering the stairs and just the area in front of it. So yeah. Roll me... Oh boy, I'm gonna want you know what? Actually, I'll give you athletics. I was gonna say dexterity, but I'll give you athletics for being someone running down a flight of stairs very quickly, having to turn and run down more stairs in the dark. Normally I'd say it's dex, but I also feel like with athletics it's just kind of like throwing your arms out and like forcing your way down the walls.
Yeah, he's got enough armor that I think dexterity, yeah, he just let his shoulders hit wall as long as he could stand.
Yeah, yeah, and sorry, realistically this you know, again, it's the cold storage. It's not like this is a massive staircase. Like you could very easily like just put your arms out and kind of help guide, but I think you're doing that like wall running thing, you're just dragging yourself awkwardly pinballing, spinning off the sides, stumbling down the stairs.
That's a 15.
15. All right, fantastic. You stumble into the room with no disadvantages. One elf is looking into the corner at the moonbeam that's just blowing up radishes. The other one who just sent the acid arrow is he's like reaching back to his quiver for an actual arrow. But both of them are distracted. What do you do?
Great. Guy reaching for arrow, hammer right in the face. Like just two, like one-handed bringing it down. It's like he appears out of a wall of darkness and it's just a hammer swinging at a head.
Sure. Go ahead.
Do I have advantage? Cause I'm coming out of darkness. I imagine not. Cause
you do not. Cause he's been waiting for you. Awesome. He can't shoot you immediately. Like he doesn't get an attack of opportunity because he's out of ammo, but he was aware that this was all coming.
Yeah. And he thinks he's ready until a wolf hurls itself out of the dark and hits him in the chest to bounce him off. Can I do that? I got Goblin Jr.
Yeah, you absolutely can. I was just working out the logistics of what that looks like. So you come like barreling down, coming out, and suddenly it's just like this giant, you know, like flaming bearded man in armor comes flying out with a hammer. And he's like reaching for an arrow. He's already like looking at your eye, knowing like there's no face armor. Like this is easy. So it reaches back and then suddenly between your legs, Goblin Jr. just leaps and like, he's got like a grin as much as, you know, anthropomorphic dogs can have grins. His fucking like tongue is flapping in the air and it's just like, you seem just like, look at Goblin Jr. Look at you. And that momentary distraction is everything you need. Go ahead.
That's
roll
perfect. Junior's going for the crotch and I'm going for the face. That's a nat 20.
Nice.
Oh boy. Soaring through the air. I do 12 regular damage plus with the, you know, rippling green fart light of Moonhammer. I do an additional 14 damage, 14 radiant damage, for a total of 26 damage.
Damn, man. He's looking rough. That was a lot for him. Still up, but not looking too hardy, as just you crack him across the head. He kind of stumbles backward. Still like fumbling for an arrow, but just kind of absently, having just been clocked in the head with a hammer. And then just kind of shaking his head and reaching for his saber.
Yeah, I think Butthole says to him, whoever buys your helmets, whoever made your helmet, I want one. I guess he feels like he should have killed him, but clearly that helmet is quality.
Truly. Bring us to the drow. So he shakes his head, fumbles for his saber, drops his bow, and then just like darts forward, still slightly uncertain on his feet, with a slashing attack at you. What's your AC?
23.
Wow.
All right, he fails with both attacks. It's just like he swings and swings, but it's for you, it's a little bit like a boxer who's dazed. Like, the strikes are good, but you can see them coming. He's telegraphing them. He's doing that like arc back thing before he swings. His bell is well and clearly rung. So he misses with both, and yells to his companion. His companion, though, is far enough away that he can open fire. So he's going to shoot you thrice with his short bow. Ooh, that's a nat 20. All right, two hit, one's a crit. So that is on the crit, you will be taking 16.
Okay.
And on the normal attack, you'll take 7.
That's 23 total.
Yeah. As he just like full on Legolas, like thwips three arrows. Mm. And then he has the same moment you just had with the helmet, where he like fires all three confidently and kind of like rises and lowers his bow, and then sees you're still standing and kind of like starts panicking, like almost Muppet style, and just like wide eyes, starts reaching for more arrows. Quinny.
Is all the darkness gone now that people have been getting hit?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, because the guy...
I cleaned the bell.
Oh, you did. Yes, you did. Yeah, you rung the bell on the guy. Yeah, he absolutely drops concentration. He is no longer paying attention to that. He also is kind of convinced you're the only thing. Like, he's like, oh, that's the thing we threw acid at. We're fine.
Right. And Moonbeam is still up, or does...
Yes, Moonbeam is up and in the corner.
Okay. It's behind this guy with the bow, right?
It's behind the guy Ryan is fighting. The other guy is, so they were like standing next to each other. The other, so we'll say left and right. Left is who Ryan is fighting. Right is the guy who got distracted by your illusion and by Moonbeam and now has his bow up. But he's only like 6 feet away. He's not, they were pretty close.
Yeah. Since Butthole is going to be able to attack that guy soon, I'm going to Eldritch Blast the guy that Butthole is fighting and push him into the Moonbeam. If I can hit him, I'm going to fire both beams at him to push him. If both hit, it's 20 feet. Nat 20. And a 4 plus 8. Probably not enough. 12.
Yes. No, only the nat 20.
Oh, so that at least pushes him 10 feet. I hope that's enough to push him into the Moonbeam. And that's a 2 for the damage.
Okay, so yeah, just in classic Zack Snyder slow-mo, just blasted back, like flailing with the saber, suddenly disappears into light, where he will take damage, I guess. On Laura, how do you think we would adjudicate this? Start of his turn.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So he hits the wall in the Moonbeam and just kind of looks up and looks out, as he's completely lit up, and he's like squinting against it. It's violently bright for his underdark eyes.
I'm going to move to one of the crates and use my cunning action to hide.
There's the Quinny we know and love.
Yay.
Yeah.
Top of the round, Juniper. The darkness is gone. You now have clear line of sight. However, one of them is trapped in the Moonbeam.
Butthole, you're not engaged, right? Because that was
not anymore, because Quinny just blew the guy away. So there's a guy 6 feet from Butthole to his right who has a bow out.
Does that produce an opportunity of attack from Butthole when I move enemies?
When you move enemies. Actually, I don't know if this is rules as written, but I would say yeah. That makes sense to me. If like Butthole's in close combat and a guy gets like blown away, I think based on the fact that it's an attack that came over your shoulder, we'll say it's a disadvantage, but I think you can take a free swing as he gets knocked away.
Sure, yeah, I'll go for it.
Because I think if he's like turning and walking away, there's enough indicating to you as a close combat combatant that he's leaving and you can take the swing. In this case, it's like you're fighting, and then, you know, the Hulk punching Thor through a wall is just like a sudden like, bah! but I think given that you're already swinging, you could like, you know, tap out with the half. Yeah.
So that's a 19 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Great. And that will do 12 damage. So we'll say he manages actually on the way out to tag him with the edge of the shield where it's got, it's like
two
Rex teeth where the hammer's been going and it's just wham on the way past.
Great. You you give him a cipher or squall cut from FF8 across his face. So just like diagonal cut up across the nose as he gets blasted back. So there's just a trail of blood as he flies into the moonbeam. Juniper.
Wait, so we just got guys in the moonbeam now?
You have guy in the moonbeam who's very badly injured, and you have one guy who is untouched but very distracted, who's firing at Butthole.
Gosh, yeah. I think I just like rotate on the spot and just like to pull that trigger, that revolver I got just twice.
Thought you might.
Twice. Yep.
Go ahead. Fan that hammer.
That's 16 to hit.
Yep.
And 19 to hit.
Both will hit.
Yay. Okay. So that's going to be 6 plus 8. So that's 14 piercing damage.
Cool. Great.
It's very strange to use magic and like
guns
a gun
and
at
a
the
gun.
Same time.
Well, as we've established, odd. Bullets will be few and far between for you. But, you know, Moss had a bunch in her pockets. So you're good for now. Laura, just to add to your sheet, please draw or just mark somewhere 3 boxes for ammo. Anytime you roll a 1 with the pistol, that's going to cost you an ammo box.
Gotcha.
And once you're out, you'll be out until you can find more ammo. As we've established, black powder weapons do exist in this world, so it's not impossible. It's just never something Juniper's bought. It's not something you guys just have. It's rare but possible. But if Commander Potatoes could get it, you can too. It's a potatoes-based baseline for the economy here. Great. Butthole.
Great. He's just going to charge this bow guy. He gets shot twice and Butthole's coming in with a hammer because this is some fucking bullshit that like, Quinny, this is the worst plan ever! He yells with like an arrow in his shoulder and another in like his arm. And he's just going to charge this guy to kind of throw down up close. So that is a 21 to hit.
Yes, very much. Yes.
Great. and that will do 6 regular damage plus 14 glowing fart damage for a grand total of 20.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a sound hit. You hear like a crunch as his armor dents. Still up, but very much bloodied. As he staggers, you like crack his bow in half. He kind of throws it aside. A little bit like the traitor stormtrooper guy. Just like in frustration throws his bow away.
And Goblin Jr. is like growling and circling behind, but he doesn't have an opening yet because he did not successfully recharge for next turn.
Great. This guy pulls knives off of either side of his rib cage. So he's got kind of 2 knuckle duster knives, but he's clearly fucked up. Again, they're archers. They're not, this isn't their jam. Bring us to the drow. Laura, go ahead and roll your moonbeam damage on the saber wielding drow.
You're muted, Laura.
Thank you. You make a constitution saving throw, DC 10.
Ooh, does a 6 pass?
yeah, no. So 14 radiant damage.
He hits the back wall, looks up, kind of like cracks his neck left and right, squinting against the light, and starts to stagger forward with his saber kind of low, like he's going to do like a running samurai strike. But as he walks forward, his fingers begin to disintegrate, and he kind of looks down in shock as his arm begins to disappear. And he has just enough time to kind of look up in horror. And then slowly he opens his eyes wide as the moonbeam consumes him. And
I just kind of put my hands up in a shrug. Like,
he can't see you. Honestly, he lived underground for a long time, but that's cool. It makes you feel better. he disintegrates in the moonbeam. As for the other guy, he's going to take two swings at Butthole with his knuckle duster knives. Ryan, your AC
23?
23. Yeah, all right. He misses by one. It's a 22. So he swings with both knives, but again, you can tell, like, he's an archer. He's meant for shooting, not stabbing. But he gives it his all. And then as a free action, he'll just like yell something in drow over his shoulder. And from outside the cold storage room, you hear similar yells, but in kind of frustration. Can you roll me an insight check, please, Ryan?
Yes. That is a 19.
Being a mercenary, you're familiar with like combat grunting. This very much sounds like, help, we're getting our ass kicked, and so are we, you fucker. Get out here and help us. No help arrives. Quinny.
I will emerge from cover and just kind of vault over to attack this this final drow with frostbite.
Cool. Go ahead.
Dirty 20.
That'll do. And you know what you get from this, because he's engaged in combat with Butthole?
I do. And 24 for Thirsting Blade, the second attack.
Yep.
These are better numbers than last time. 10, 11, so 21, plus 7, 28, and then plus my 7 is 35?
Oh yeah, 24 left. So at this point, you've triggered the kill animation. Okay. What do you do to this guy?
I like sail in through the air and just plunge my short sword like into his neck, and I kind of use that as like a way to stop my momentum as I'm flying through the air, and I just kind of like lock eyes with Butthole as the guy like collapses to the ground. I'm like, it's only partly a bad plan if it's not executed well, and I look to the door to see what's going on out there.
Out there, there is a swirling melee as trolls, drow, and a massively armored orc battle around a massive suspended glowing crystal. It would seem that there is some other bullshit afoot.
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's dumbdumdice. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Benjamin V,
Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Alan, Austin Nut Powers Fry, Stabby Stranger, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.